Chapter number 3, please. John chapter number 3. And I'll try to preach fast this morning and get it done really quick. And this is about a two-hour message, and I'll preach it in 17 minutes. How's that? Okay? Many people, they do not believe in a real heaven. Many people don't believe in a real hell. You know why? Because they don't want to believe in a hell. They don't want to think about God's judgment coming and casting them into an eternal lake of fire. So they say, oh, I don't believe in hell. But I tell you what, a second after they die, they're going to believe in it. And to say, if you're saved, the second after you die, you'll believe in heaven. Because heaven is real. The Bible talks much about it. And that's what we have to go on, is the Word of God. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharp, and it'll speak to you and help you with this thing of where heaven is and how to get there and all that kind of thing. But many people don't believe in it. But God wants everybody to go to heaven. The Bible even says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants you to go to heaven. He wants you to end up in eternity in heaven with the Lord, but He will not compromise His character to get you there. He'll not compromise His word in order to get you there. In other words, if you're going to go to El Paso, you can't get there by going toward California. You're just not going to do it. You know, unless you happen to be able to swim about 6,000 miles and swim across the Pacific Ocean and then walk about another 3,000 or 4,000 miles and then swim across the Atlantic Ocean and then walk another 1,000 miles or 2,000 miles to get to El Paso, you're not going to get there by going the wrong way. And you'll not get to heaven by trying to get there your own way. You say, well, I'll just do what I want. I'll just think the way I want to, and I'll get there. No, you won't. You'll die, and you'll go straight to hell if you don't know Christ as your Savior. You know, the Bible says in John chapter 3, and we'll read these first seven verses of John chapter 3, a very familiar passage of Scripture, where God says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. This is a real man, not just a made-up story. Nicodemus was his name, a ruler of the Jews. In other words, he was a rabbi. He was a very spiritual man. He loved God, but he wasn't a Christian. And this same man came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, and Jesus always gets right down where the rubber meets the road. He didn't beat around the bushes. He didn't try to give Nicodemus a bunch of compliments. He got right to where he needed to be. And he said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, in verse number 3, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom or see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Do you know that whenever a mother is expecting a baby and the placenta breaks and the baby is born, that's being born of water. The next verse even explains it further in case somebody's mixed up. Some people think that that's getting baptized. It's not talking about baptism. Notice the next verse. It says, that which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. So in order to be born again, you have to be born the first time. Amen. And if you're born the first time, in order to get to heaven, you have to be born again by the blood of Christ. You must be born of the Spirit. And so we want to have a word of prayer and then get into the message. Heavenly Father, I ask you please to speak to our hearts, meet our spiritual needs today. Would you save anybody that's lost today? And would you speak to hearts that are the people that are born again and saved? And I pray, Lord, that you would meet every spiritual need here for Christ's sake this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Revelation chapter 21, verse number 4 says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Isn't it wonderful that one of these days you and I do not have to think about shedding any more tears? I do know that one of our dear ladies here this morning, that her husband passed away, had a heart attack just the other day, and you're going to have the funeral this coming Saturday, I believe it is. But when we get to heaven, we won't have to shed any more tears. She'll see her husband again, and so on, and God will wipe away all tears one of these days from our eyes. One of the greatest truths and thoughts in the Bible that we can possibly think of is heaven and how to get there. Heaven and how to get there. If you don't know you're going to heaven, then you can know before you leave this service today. And you say, well, I wish I knew. I think I'm going to go to heaven. Let me just say that if you think you're going to go to heaven, but you don't know for sure, then you're about 99.99% sure not going. Amen. Because, you know, you ask me, say, preacher, are you married? And I said, well, I don't know. I don't know whether I am or not. He said, boy, he's pretty dumb. He doesn't even know whether he's married or not. Well, I've been married 53 years. I've never wondered whether I've married or not since the last 53 years. And I got saved in 1969 on March the 21st. And I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. And if you don't know you're going to heaven, then you need to make sure of that before we leave today. God has not left us in the dark. God has filled His Word with instructions and admonitions and Scripture to help us to know about heaven and how to get there. God has not left us with no light. The Bible says, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God shines the light and helps us to know where we're going to go when we die and gives us the directions right there in the Word of God. The Bible has much to say about heaven and much to say about life and much to say about life after death. God does show us how to get to heaven. But you know, everybody's going to die one of these days. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die in Hebrews 9:27. And after this, the judgment. We're all going to die and stand before God one of these days. And let me just say that you don't have to wait till you die to know whether you made it or not. You don't have to wait until you die to know whether you're going to heaven or not. And you say, well, I hope I go. Then you're not going. You can't hope you're... I hope I'm married. No, I'm married. I'm saved too. And I know that. And so the Bible has much to say about that. You know, most people think and live for this life only. They think about the money they make. They think about the problems that they have today and stuff like that. Most people work for this life only. And most people prepare for this life only. People work year after year after year after year after year until they're about 60 or 70 years old, and then they retire. And what they do is they start out about 40 years before they're 70 years old, and they start working, and they say, boy, I got to save up for retirement. Do you know that the average person lives 18 months after they retire, and then they die? Now, some people live a little bit longer, but the average is 18 months. You know why? They retire, they sit down in an easy chair, put their feet up on the hassock, and watch TV, get fat, and die. That's what happens. And they spend their whole life preparing for 18 months so they can die. Why not prepare for eternity? Amen. And then, no matter when you die, you're going to heaven. And you'll be with the Lord. The Bible says to be absent from the body for a Christian is to be present with Christ. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 26, it says, for what is man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You're foolish if you prepare for just this life only. Foolishness to not prepare for eternity. And you know, everyone's going to die. I remember back in Pine Bluff, Arkansas, when I was pastoring there in the 1990s, we had a little girl that started coming to our church on a bus route, just like yours. when she was about 6 years old. She got saved sometime when she was about 6 or 7 years old. And then now she grew up till she was 12 years old. And one day a lady, a neighbor, called her up and said, hey, would you babysit for me tonight? And I've got a date. And she says, okay, I'll babysit. So she went over to this house and babysat for this lady. She had about 5 or 6 children. And she was going to watch all these kids while this lady went out and had a date. And when she got there, then her boyfriend showed up in just a few moments. And her boyfriend came in the house, pulled out a gun, and shot the lady and killed her. And shot all of her 5 or 6 kids and killed them. And shot the little babysitter, Samantha Rhodes was her name, and killed her. And I had the funeral for little Samantha Rhodes, 12 years old. Can you imagine if she hadn't have come to our church when she was 6 years old and heard how to get saved? She got born again by the blood of Christ and then and then got killed when she was 12 years old and died and went to heaven. It's interesting that the public school kids, she went to a public school. They couldn't take it, and they didn't understand this situation. And so the principal of the school called me on the phone and said, hey, could you come over to our public school and speak to all of our students? They're having a hard time with Samantha dying. And I said, sure, I'd be glad to. And went over there. There were about 1,000 kids sitting in this gymnasium. And all the staff teachers were sitting up there, about 40 teachers across here. And I was sitting by the principal of the school. And I said, listen, I'm going to get up there and speak in a few moments, and all I know is the Bible. And that's what I'm going to talk about. And he says, well, whatever you want to say, you just say what you want. And I got up and preached my heart out to all these kids. And do you know that about 500 of those kids got saved that morning? And little Samantha Rhodes got more people saved at her funeral than she probably would have gotten saved had she lived a normal lifetime. Let me just say that though the little Samantha Rhodes died at 12 years old, if you were to die today, where would you go? You know, you're going to heaven or are you going to hell? I could give you all kinds of illustrations of individuals that have died that I've had their funeral, all the way from little bitty kids all the way up to 90 some years old. I buried one lady who's 104 years old, but she died. She died. If you don't prepare for the future, you're foolish. Do you know the only certain thing about life is death? That's certain. Everybody's going to die someday. Everything leads to the grave. It's appointed to man once to die. You know, we do have a Savior, though, that cares. And He wants you to be born again. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to go to heaven when you die. And God has prepared a place for us. Heaven is what it is. And the Bible talks about it in the book of Revelation, chapter 21 and chapter 22. If you would read those chapters at your convenience and so on, it talks about the streets in heaven being made of gold, so pure as of transparent glass. You can see through the streets. Isn't that amazing? And then it has the river of life that comes down through heaven. The Bible talks about that. And anytime you're thirsty, you can go down and get a drink out of the river of life. Has tree planted there beside the river of life in heaven and dwells 12 different kinds of fruit. Do you know the preacher has a lemon tree at his house? Brother Mendez has a lemon tree at his house, but it only grows lemons. It doesn't grow oranges, doesn't grow grapefruit, doesn't grow anything else. It grows lemons. But in heaven, he's got a tree there that has 12 different kinds of fruit on one tree, the same tree. And every 30 days, a new crop of fruit every 30 days. Wow. That's in heaven. No sorrow in heaven. No more death in heaven. Do you know, I have a big imagination. Do you have a big imagination? Man, I do. I can imagine all kinds of things. The Bible says, eye hath not seen, and ear hath not heard, and neither hath it entered into the heart of man. That's imagination, you know, anything entering into the heart of man. And the things that God hath prepared for them that love him, that God has said, you can't even imagine how wonderful heaven is. Bible tells us a little bit about it, but if your greatest imagination, do you know that if you take a laser gun and shoot it at the moon, it takes it 3.5 seconds to go to the moon and back. That's amazing how fast that is. Speed of light. But If you take that same laser gun and shoot it at the closest star, not counting the sun, it's only 93 million miles away. But the closest star other than the sun and shoot that same laser gun at it, it takes 100,000 years for it to get there and get back. You say, wow. But you know that when we get to heaven, Brother Shaver, I might just come up to you and say, hey, Brother Shaver, why don't you all, you and I, why don't we go over to the Andromeda galaxy tomorrow and have us a breakfast at that new diner that they started over there. And the only problem is, how in the world are we going to get there? Well, I believe when we get to heaven, we'll be able to travel at the speed of thought. You say, you really think that? It's going to be greater than that because I can imagine that. But the Bible says you can't even imagine what heaven's going to be like. You say, well, I don't want to go to heaven when I die. You're an idiot. You're really dumb if you don't want to go to heaven. He said, well, I'll just go to hell where all my friends are. Do you know that you're talking out of both sides of your mouth? You don't really believe that. If your friend was in a fire, burning up, I'll say, hey, you want to join him? Just go ahead and jump in there with him. Go on, go on. He said, oh, I'm not going in there. No, because you'd have some brains then. Why don't you have some brains now? You don't want to go to hell. You don't want to spend an eternity in hell where you burn forever and ever and ever. You'd rather go to heaven where the streets are made of gold. Rather go to heaven where there's a river of life. Rather go to heaven where you can travel at the speed of thought. Rather go to heaven where God has prepared a place for you. I read in a book one time that if everybody that had ever lived on the face of the earth had a mansion twice the size of the White House in Washington, D.C., that there'd be room enough in just the state of Texas to hold everybody in heaven, having a mansion that big. Plus, there'd still be room for parks and place for people to play. That sounds pretty. You know, God's not limited. If there wasn't enough room, God could say, let there be another place this big. I mean, that's how he made the earth to start with. Let there be light. And there was light. Let there be. And you know, that's the way God did it when he first started. You know, the Bible says in John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. That's heaven. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And Thomas said, we don't know the way. How can we know the way? Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way. Jesus said, he's the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. There's no way you can get to heaven but by the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, I believe in Muhammad. You're going to die and go to hell if you just believe in Muhammad. You better believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. If Muhammad's still dead and buried, he's still in the grave. But Jesus is alive. He rose from the grave and he's alive today. Logic demands that there's a heaven. God has kind of put it in the heart of man to look for something beyond this life. You know, he didn't do that to animals. When a dog gets to the end of his life, he dies, and he's gone. When a cow gets to the end of his life, before they make hamburger out of him, and he's died. He's dead. But when you get toward the end of your life, you start thinking about eternity. What's going to happen after I die? Now, they probably aren't going to make hamburger out of you, but when you die. But I tell you one thing, if you know the Christ, Lord Jesus is your Savior, to be absent from the body is to be present with Christ if you know the Lord. And so God has put a longing in our hearts for something after this life. And that longing is about heaven. That longing is about eternity. Only God has the power and the authority in the Word of God to speak such words. He says, you believe in God? Believe also in me. There's only one way to prepare for that great place that God has made for us in heaven. And God says, you must be born again. You must. If you're not born again, you'll die without Christ and be in hell. If you could build your faith on anything else, if you do, you'll end up in hell. That's what the Word of God says. You know, there is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It's what it says. Believe that. Do you know, he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. God tells us the truth. God tells us the truth. Eye hath not seen, and ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into a heart, the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. Love him. You know, say, where is heaven, preacher? Well, we seem to think it's up. Up. Hell, we think it's down. But, you know, I tell you what, heaven is where Jesus is. That's where the Lord is. God says for a Christian to be absent from the body is to be present with Christ. John chapter, 1 John chapter 5 says, and this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. If you have Christ, you have eternal life. If you do not, he says, he that hath not the Son hath not life. And he wrote those things, these things I've written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. So now, if I ask the average person today how they expected to get to heaven, they would say, well, I'm pretty good. No, you're not. The Bible says that even your righteousness compared to God is as filthy rags. You're not any good. You say, how do you know? Because the Bible says so. I don't even have to follow you around. You know, some people say, well, I'm not too bad. Yes, you are. If you were good enough to get to heaven without Jesus come to die on the cross, he wouldn't have come to die on the cross. He just had you live a good enough life to get to heaven. But you can't do it. You can't do it. You think bad thoughts. You do bad deeds. You, many of us are dishonest and things like that. And so on. If you die without Christ, you'll go to hell. You have to have Christ. You have to, because you don't have the ability in your own power to be born again. Do you know, why can't we believe what Jesus tells us? Why can't we just say, oh, if that's what God says, that's what I believe. Do you know, the Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So, how do you get to heaven? Not by living a good life, not by being a good father, not by being a good mother, not by being moral, not by going to church, not by getting baptized. Now, listen, it's good to do all of these things, but that won't get you to heaven. You know, it's good when you get out in your car to fasten your seatbelt, but that's not going to get you to your destination. You're going to have to start the car and put it in gear and take off and that kind of thing, you know. It's by repenting of your sin, asking Jesus, putting Jesus, the trust of the Lord Jesus Christ, in your heart as your personal Savior. Amen. That's how you're saved. In 1969, I was 22 years old at that time. And I had been married for 2 years. My wife did not know that I wasn't a Christian. I was that good of a fake. I was pretending like I was saved, Brother Schaefer. I acted like I was saved. I went to church too, but I was not born again. And God was speaking to my heart. There was a guy named Paul Ragland came to preach the revival for us at the church I was going to. And he preached on how I was an evangelist for 10 years and got saved in one of my own revivals. And I thought, what? I said, this sounds like me, because I wasn't saved. And I was working at Rothstein Purina Company making dog food. And I was working that night, and after the revival was over, and I thought, man, I'm going to die and I'm going to go to hell. But on March the 21st, 1969, I went home from work and I knelt down beside my bed because I couldn't sleep that morning. And I said, God, I'm tired of being a fake. I'm tired of not being real. I want you to come into my heart and save my soul and take me to heaven when I die. Lord, would you forgive me and come into my heart? And he did that day in 1969. And I'm born again by the blood of Christ because I quit depending upon my works. I quit depending upon trying to live right and do right, but I repented of my sins and trusted Jesus as my very own personal Savior. Do you know, what is it profited a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul and dies without Christ? Is your salvation genuine or are you a fake? Are you real or are you a fake? Do you really have Christ in your heart or are you just pretending? Have you repented of your sins or are you real? Did you just quote a prayer because somebody talked you into doing it? Or did you really get born again? You have to answer that question in your own heart, in your own heart. Then I'd like to say, if you are saved and you haven't been baptized since you've been saved, you ought to come to the front and tell the preacher, hey, I want to do the first thing a Christian ought to do. Now that I'm saved, I want to get baptized. Amen. Then join this church. Become a member here. Could we have every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around for a minute? I'd like to ask a couple of questions.